ESPN Radio 1027, Elkhart and Goshen Sports Station. You're not wrong. Your opinion just needs an adjustment. Now back to the home stretch with Pat Daugherty.
Welcome back here to the home stretch, ESPN Radio 1027. I'm Pat Daugherty. Alongside me, Todd Burlidge. Got a text during the break. Again, keep your text coming. 1027 in your messages to 45364. Best gift was my dad giving me his 68 Camaro. Todd, you were probably 21 years old in 68, right? Close to it.
I was one, but nice. Yes, indeed. That is a great gift.
Classic sapphire blue with racing stripes. Ryan saying he'll pass it on to his son someday. Great, great, great gift there. That's a good one.
I was writing about the Camaro today, actually.
Good deal. I'm going to welcome in Steve Kuyler to the show. Covers the NBA for basketballinsider.com. Steve, welcome to the show, man.
How are you, fellas?
Doing great, doing great. We'll kick it off here. We had a listener text in earlier asking the question about Russell Westbrook. Is he the best point guard in the league? So I will pass that question on to you.
Well, I'll answer that probably differently than you think. No, he's not the best point guard in the NBA. He's probably one of the best players in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the job of the point guard is to set up other teammates, distribute, play some defense, hit open shots. And that's not Russell's game. Probably the best point guard in the game might be Kemba Walker. But, you know, the show that Russ is putting on and the triple doubles, I mean, it's amazing. There's a reason we haven't had somebody do an average or triple double in a season since Oscar Robertson. It's incredibly tough to do. And then you factor in 82 games, the rule changes, the fact that most guards don't want to rebound. What he's doing is impressive. I'm not sure there's a better show in basketball than Russell Westbrook.
I would agree with you on that one. Who is the best player in the NBA right now? Is it still LeBron? Is somebody else even? Or is LeBron the king?
Well, I think LeBron has now arrived at underappreciated. You know, I think we look at what LeBron has done in his career and just go, that's what LeBron does. But not putting that in context, that's pretty impressive. You know, he's certainly right up there. I think Russell Westbrook's playing amazing basketball. James Harden is playing amazing basketball. Kevin Durant, it kind of gets a little over, you know, he gets a little overshadowed a bit because he changed teams. But his efficiency has gotten so good, and his defense has stepped up. And when you talk about a guy that was used to getting 25, 30 shots a game, you know, now he's getting less touches. He's doing more for his team than I think he's ever done before. And because he changed teams, a little underappreciated. And then the guy that's completely unappreciated is Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio. Talk about the absolute prototypical two-way player in the mold of a Michael Jordan. You know, Kawhi's having an amazing season as well.
When you look at the NBA, I'm not a huge fan of these big threes. You see, kind of, we're getting to a point where we're just going to have, I think, four or five teams of three superstars, and then you're going to have the rest of the league. Who is the best team right now in the NBA? Is it Golden State? Is it the defending champs, the Cleveland Cavaliers? Or is it somebody else? Do you have a dark horse that you think could be the biggest threat to the throne of those two teams for the NBA Finals?
Well, I think those are going to be the two teams that come out, but not easily. I mean, it's not like those two teams are going to come out with no challenges. You've got a San Antonio team that's really good. Houston Rockets have been playing incredible basketball out west. They're going to be tough to get through in the postseason. And I think we saw it last year. I don't think anybody thought the Oklahoma City Thunder were going to take, you know, the Golden State Warriors to seven games. It just didn't seem like that was in the cards. And it's because you get to that point in the season where you're worn down and injury is a great equalizer. So in the West, there are a lot of challengers. And in the East, you know, very quietly, the Toronto Raptors are getting better. I don't think they're on the same level of a Cleveland Cavalier team because the Cavs are playing so loose and so together, and kind of all the noise that surrounded that franchise for the last year or so is gone. You know, they're just out there to play basketball. The big challenge for them is they've lost yet another player in J.R. Smith to an injury. You know, fortunately, it's not going to be a season-ending injury, but, you know, they didn't have a lot of roster depth to begin with at the guard position, and now they're even thinner, and they're kind of up against it in terms of the luxury tax and roster spots. They're going to have some serious money just to bring in a new guy to fill the gap. So, you know, they run into an issue that do they get worn down or do they drop some games here in December and January? They kind of close the gap a little bit. But Toronto's really good. Boston is really good. I mentioned Kemba Walker and what the Charlotte Hornets are doing is incredible. So there are some real challengers in the East. We do have two very clear front runners, but, you know, the next team on the list is a good team, and it's really going to push those teams.
talking to Steve Kyler, NBA guru for basketballinsiders.com. Steve, you led me in a little bit. I'm curious, is it cyclical? How does this work? It seems like for the last several years, I don't know, maybe going back almost a decade now, you can answer that better than I can. It seems like the power, the NBA power, other than maybe the top team, obviously, the top one or two teams in the East, the power has really shifted to the West and has really stayed there. How do you explain that dynamic?
Well, one, it kind of comes into drafting and free agency. When you think about the Golden State Warriors, the reason they're as good as they are is they drafted Steph Curry, they drafted Klay Thompson, they drafted Draymond Green. You know, so they were bad for a good decade and then finally got the draft right. And, you know, then you're able to kind of go out and get free agents taken seriously because you're a championship contender. You look at the San Antonio Spurs, you know, their run for the longest time was built around the draft, starting with Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili, then Tony Parker, and now you've got, you know, Kawhi Leonard, and then being really smart in terms of how they go about getting the role players. And, you know, they won the LaMarcus Aldridge lottery. That gets them there. You know, the Clippers have been good. Again, Chris Paul landing there was huge for them. But Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, it's about who you draft. And in order to get those draft picks, you've got to be pretty bad for a while. And, you know, I think we're going to see that in the East. The middle of the NBA plays in the Eastern Conference. And I think you're starting to see, you know, Philadelphia's got two really good, promising prospects in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, even though we haven't seen him play. So in very short order, we're going to see the draft start to bear fruit for some of these teams in the East that have been at the bottom for so long.
Once again, we're talking the NBA with our guy Steve Kyler from basketballinsiders.com. George Karl, former NBA coach, in his book, he talks about Carmelo Anthony, criticizes him, says he's a true conundrum, that he's addicted to the spotlight, being a player like that. Do you agree with his comments?
1,000%.
Wow.
There's no equivocation. That's been the rap on Carmelo. And, you know, I think you talk to players that play against Carmelo, and, you know, I talked to some small forwards, some really good small forwards, and, you know, you immediately go, what's it like guarding LeBron James? It's like, you know what you're getting out of LeBron. The guy that's the toughest to guard is Carmelo. He's got so much in his game, but he's never been a great rebounder, never been interested in defending, never been really worried about surrounding himself with winning players. He's not the guy that steps up and in the moment. He is about Carmelo, and he has been for a very long time. You know, you hope that at some point here, especially now that the Knicks are starting to move forward and things are starting to look better in that marketplace, that, you know, maybe he'll take being a leader a little more seriously. And, you know, sometimes when you get embarrassed a little bit, like George is trying to do to him, maybe you step up. But, you know, I agree with George, especially when he was in Denver. There was no question that he was a selfish player. There's no question that he was all about himself and what was going on. It was one of the reasons why he forced himself out of a really good situation in Denver to go to basically a losing situation in New York.
Well, and I think age has a lot to play in that as well. As you are in the league longer,
no question. You
realize those opportunities for rings start to wither away. Once again, Steve Kyler joining us. He covers the NBA for Basketball Insiders.com. Steve, definitely a pleasure, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
You guys have a Merry Christmas.
You too, brother. Sir.